Oh, also.
Yeah.
Not working? Bye-bye. Okay, there won't be a picture of me this week. So I just want to mention, I want to mention that today our shiur is sponsored in loving memory of Roz's sister-in-law, Liba Chaya Bat Golda, Linda Borenstein, who is a special lady on the outside and is beautiful on the inside. And may her neshama have an aliyah, Borenstein Sefer, and Kozlowitz families, and only besorot tovot, Roz. May there be many besorot tovot that we will share, Bezrat Hashem, and may we hear only about smachot. So what we are about to do is complete Sefer Micha, which is amazing, and I think was very, very beautiful. I really enjoyed Micha very much. Excuse me. And what we had been learning so far was that Perek Zayin started with the same word. I forgot my cough drops today. I didn't take my water bottle, but we have water. But now we just got a little bit past it. At any rate, we learned that Perek Zayin starts with the same word that at least one kina. Oh, Raz, thank you. You are very sweet. Okay, I will. This is a Ricola. We will thank you. I'm collecting.
I keep stock.
I'm collecting. She has a stock. We all have a stock. Okay. Okay. It started with the word alalaili. And I hope that you noticed that at least one major kina started with those same words, alalaili, which was a word that you're supposed to repeat between each phrase. And I think that alalaili was taken from Micha, because I can't remember off the top of my head any other Navi using that same exact alalaili in that form. So woe is to me, and the Navi starts by saying woe. Why does he say woe? Because he feels that he is all alone. He feels that there is no true person. There is no ish chesed, and nobody has been listening to all of his tochecha. And I'm assuming that he knows that he is getting to the end of his nevuah. He says, remember the metaphor, it was really a good metaphor, that the people are like thorns, and the thorns are twisted so that the sharp points stick out and people harm each other. And you can't trust even your closest relatives. And then he stepped back, and it was part two, and the Navi actually gives a tefillah in which he is asking, remember, Ochila, I am asking Hashem that there be a Yeshua. And then we have Knesset Yisrael speaking. And from here on, it's going to be a dialogue. There's going to be a dialogue between what the Navi assumes is Am Yisrael speaking, Hashem, so to speak, kiviyachol, answering, and the Navi stepping in as well. So from here to the end of Sefer Micha, it's a trialogue, not a dialogue, because it is three voices. And Knesset Yisrael essentially says, remember, don't be too happy, oyevatai. Don't be too happy, my enemies, because even if I fall, then I will rise up again. And ki yeshev b'choshech, Hashem orli. Even when I sit in the darkness, Hashem is my light. And remember, we had two, I can't resist because I liked it. We had two slightly different meanings. One was, when I sit in the dark, then Hashem gives me light. In the dark of Galut, I sit, but I still have my Emunah, I still have my Torah, even though I'm not in Eretz Yisrael.
That's what the problem is.
And the second one, but you'll like better. The second one is, when I sit in darkness in the Gola, Hashem is my light because he promised to take me out.
That's what the problem is.
And bring me my light.
That's exactly what the problem is. They're sitting in the Gola, expecting Hashem. They're waiting for Hashem to let them out.
And let's hope that it'll all change very, very quickly. Because after all, we're all here. We're here. Baruch Hashem, we're here.
We're waiting.
We're enjoying themselves while they're waiting.
So basically, she then goes on Knesset Yisrael, so to speak, to say, I know that the day of the Yeshua will come. Remember, the said twice, Yom. The day will come, Livnot Gederayich, to rebuild your fences, to rebuild your land. Pasuk Yud Bet, Yom Hu. It is a day that Hashem has promised us. Va'adecha Yavo L'mini Ashur V'orei Matzor. And all of your exiles are going to come back, no matter how far away they've been exiled and sent to. They all will come back to the land. And we have one more pasuk in this section. When we stopped last week, we stopped one pasuk short of this section. V'hoita ha'aretz lishmama al yosheveha. And it's really interesting because it's very hard to understand what aretz he's speaking about. The land will be desolate. If Am Yisrael are coming back, what is he talking about when he says the land will be desolate? And the Malbim says, Kadur Haaretz. In other words, he says, what do you say, the globe, right? Kadur Haaretz, the entire world aside from Eretz Yisrael, where all the enemies of Am Yisrael dwelt, that part of the world will be desolate. Mipri Malaleihem, as a result, as fruit of their actions towards Am Yisrael. And the usage, according to the Malbim, of the Aretz, or the Kadur Haaretz, is, I know it's very depressing to say this, that we have so many enemies, and so they are all over. And so with Kadur Haaretz, there'll be a lot of places that will be desolate. And now we have the Navi. And the Navi is addressing Hashem at this point. So now we have the third voice coming in this perek. And he says, Pasuk Yudalid. Re'ei amcha b'shifticha. Re'ei like a shepherd, right? Shepherd your nation. It's re'ei with an ayin. Shepherd your nation with your shevet. The shevet is like a staff, not a makel. We'll read the Malbim. Not a makel. In other words, Hashem, be a shepherd to Am Yisrael, but don't treat them with a makel when they do wrong, but rather like a shepherd shepherds his flock and uses a shevet. Tzon nachlatecha. After all, they are the sheep that are your inheritance. Shochni levadad. They always dwell alone. Don't we know that? Ya'ar betoch Carmel, in a forest in the midst of the finest land. Carmel is always beautiful land. In other words, take your nation, lead them like a shepherd does with a shevet, and take them through, out of the countries that they have been scattered in, and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Ya'ar betoch Carmel, the finest land, Yir'u Bashan, the Gilad, Kimeolam. And they will graze in the Bashan and Gilad. You know what Bashan is? Bashan is the Golan Heights. It's the area of Golan. And Gilad, which is the northern Galil, upper Galil. Kimei, actually, no, Gilad is also on the other side of the Yarden. Gilad is the lower part. We have the Golan Heights, and we have what's right underneath it. Kimei Olam, as always, as in the best times. All of the Mefarshim say, when is Yimei Olam? When is it? What does it mean, like days of old? It means, they can narrow it down, the time of Shlomo, the first 7 years, when he was building the Beit HaMikdash, when everything seemed to be headed to a utopia. It seemed to be headed to the best of times. The Malbim says that's the time that we're aiming for. That's the time. Shlomo was building a Beit HaMikdash. We had the kingdom of Yehuda. We had the promises, the kingdom of David, based David. We had the promises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kimei Olam is like the best times for Am Yisrael that ever existed. Just want to read you the beginning of the Malbim with regard to the Shevet. So the Malbim says, Re'ei Amcha, Kasher Ra'a HaChozeh Arichut Yimei HaGalut. When the seer, he's seeing, Micha here is having a visual nevuah. So when the Chozeh saw how long the exile would be, Arichut HaGalut, Hitpalel al Hashem, Midavin to Hashem, Sheyirachem aleihem, that he would have pity on them, B'meshech ha'itim ha'ele, through all those times. In other words, the Navi is now seeing that it's going to be a long galut. And what he's doing here is, again, he's davening and he's saying, take care, be careful with them. Omer al Hashem, he says to Hashem, Re'ei Amcha b'shiftecha, shepherd your nation with your shevet, with your rod, gam im titzterech lahakot otam b'meshach yimei galutam, even if you'll have to punish them during the time that they're in exile. Re'ei Amcha, shepherd your nation, Bahashgachatcha kirawet so no yireh. Use your hashgacha to shepherd them like a shepherd shepherds his sheep. It sounds terrible in English. In Ivrit, you could do one word. Velo takeim, slicha, b'makel chovlim. Don't punish them with a makel that you would do to somebody who needs stripes, who actually needs to be punished. Rak b'shiftecha tochichem. But use your rod to teach them. B'shevet anoshim lo b'mate u'makel. With the rod of people. In other words, use people. Use your nevi'im. Use messengers to teach them. And do not use a makel, the rod that hits, the rod that strikes, b'mate u'makel. Tzon nachlatcha shochni levadad ya'ar. After all, your people dwell alone. Hinehem shochlim levad. Look at your people, have rachmanut. They dwell alone. Ratzolomar nifradim mikol poale oven. They're separated from the people that did evil to them. Uvachol zot hem b'ya'ar male chayot ra'ot. And nevertheless, when they're in Galut, it's as though they are in a forest that is filled with Chayot Ra'ot. So take them from the forest. Take them with your Shevet. I don't know how to use Rostef. That's the word I should have used. Staff. Shiftecha u. Mishantecha, right? That's what David says. Shiftecha mishantecha. Here there's no mishenet. But still, I think we could use the word stiff because we're trying to make it separated from the makel. So shepherd them with your staff like a shepherd would and take them out of the ya'ar. take them out of the forest and bring them to the Carmel, to the finest. Carmel is the finest land that can really support the best agriculture, and let them graze throughout their land. Tedvav, Pasuk Tedvav. Kimet Seitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Neflaot. And here, according to the Malbim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering. When the Navi is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shepherd them with Rachmanut and with kindness like a shepherd, he says, yes, I will do it like the days that you left Mitzrayim, Arenu, I will show him Niflaot, I will show him wonders. When the time will come that I will take them out of the Galut, I will take them out just the same way that I did when I took them out of Mitzrayim. I will show them incredible wonders. Yeru goyim v'yevoshu. And the nations around will see what's happening and they'll be embarrassed. Mikol gvuratam. From all of their strength, they thought this would never happen. How can Am Yisrael possibly be having a Yeshua at this time? Yasimu yad al peh. They'll put their hands on their mouth, in other words, so that they don't speak anymore. Aznehem techerashna. And it's as though their ears will be made deaf. In other words, the Goyim, who always said, this will never happen, Am Yisrael has lost their special position, all the promises, if there were promises, to Am Yisrael are gone. They've been transferred. They're given to other people. It's never going to happen. The Yeshua that they hope for is X. They will no longer be able to speak, and it's as though their ears will be made deaf. Yilachachu afar kanachash. It wants to state that they're made very low. They will lick the dust like a snake. Kizochale aretz yirgizu mimiskerotehem. Like that which crawls on the land, they will tremble from their closed places. And it's interesting, I want to do this miskerotehem. In other words, this is all the nations. They'll crawl on the ground. Shelo yihyeh kizochel shiyuchal lizchol l'kol makom shiyirtzeh. They won't be like a creepy, crawly creature that can get to any place it wants. Ki hem yihyu skurim ba'orehem mipnei ha'pachad sheyipol aleihem. So Miskerotehem, according to the Malbim, is the nations that will be watching the great Yeshua of Hashem will be as though locked up in their places because of their fear, because of the panic, because of their disbelief of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for Am Yisrael. So according to the Malbim, Miskerotehem is that the nations around Am Yisrael who are watching will feel locked up out of their fear. They won't be able to act. According to some of the other Mefarshim, I think it was Rashi, Miskerotehem was the Jews, that the Jews will be able to get out of their locked places. They will be freed. Yes.
So it's really like a question of whether the pasuk Yudvav Yerugoyim
Yudzayin,
whether it's those are two psukim that go together that is all talking about the other nations, or whether 16 Yudtes is talking about the Jews and Yudzayin is talking about the.
It's very good.
Hard to know.
It's hard to know which is which, and if they're both speaking the same. So obviously, Malbim,
that's
the same. And the other one, yeah.
Yeah, the other is that.
Because it's Yeru Goyim, and this is still Goyim, that they're locked up. And according to Rashi, Yeru Goyim, and here it's Jews.
Yeah.
Interesting that you pick that up. El Hashem Elokeinu Yifchadu. They're going to be afraid of Hashem, our God. They will fear from Him. And we have the last three psukim. which I hope you will find familiar. And it's the Navi speaking. The Navi is saying, Mikael Kamocha, who is a God like you, or who is God like you? Nose avon va'over al pesha l'sheirit nachlato, who tolerates sin and over as he completely goes by. It's as though the pesha doesn't exist anymore. Over al pesha, it's as though there is no longer a pesha. What's a pesha? I'd like that. Yeah. A pesha is a rebellious sin, l'sheirit nachlato, for the remnant of his nachala, his inheritance. Lo hechazik la'adapo, he does not hold forever onto his anger, ki chafetz chesed hu, because he wants chesed, chafetz chesed hu. Mikael kamocha, when do we say this? Tashlich, absolutely, Mikael kamocha. These three psukim that are the end of Micha now is Tashlich. And it's also said in most Bate Knesset on Shabbat Shuva after we read from the Hosea, Shuva Hashem Ad, Hashem Elokecha, Ki Koshalta, 7 weeks, by the way, I thought I would mention it to you. 7 weeks between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. 7 weeks, we have seven haftarot of Geula, of Yeshua, of Nechama, thank you, comfort, and then we have Shabbat Shuvah. And so the after we read the Psukim, it's very short. It's very short. The Hosea is very short. And most times when Chazal give us a haftarah, it's a certain amount of Psukim. Some of them are a little longer, some of them are a little shorter, but for the most part, they're supposed to have 22. They very seldom make the 22 mark. But it's like if something is very short, there will often be something taken either from another place in the Navi or from another Navi.
Sometimes it continues. Sometimes it continues.
We have Svaradim Adkan and Ashkenazim because they're different, yes. But also there's two principles in Haftarot. One of them is it can't be too short, and the other one is it never ends on a negative note. Never. A Haftarah will never end on a negative note. It starts with a wow always. There's supposed to be something big at the beginning, and it always ends with Nechama.
So, it's also said on Mincha of Yom Kippur.
Yes, and Mincha of Yom Kippur as well. Thank you. So notice, please, again, it's a little bit different than when we know the normal, the well-known, recitation of the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a little bit different because the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we normally say are, Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Rachum. Here we go, just a minute. Rachum v'chanon, Erech Apayim, we had the Erech Apayim, right? Lo hechizik la'adapo, is Erech Apayim. He doesn't hold on to his anger forever. Okay, Rav chesed ve'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, no say avon v'fesha v'chata'a. What does no say mean? Say it louder. He carries it. He doesn't act. He doesn't act on it, but he also doesn't forget it. It's there. The sin is there. So when we say no say, it's like you tolerate. You go beyond it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, Micha changed one little thing. The little thing that he changed is, he's davening, he's saying, when you're taking Am Yisrael through the Galut, I am asking you to be over al pesha. That's the difference. Over al pesha, because a pesha is a rebellious sin. Don't hold on to those. Over. Give it up, right? Let it go completely. Forgive it completely as though it never happened. It's really interesting because I want to point out to you that we are going to have very soon in Nachum as well another recitation of Midot of Hashem, which will also differ a little bit.
He didn't get into Am Yisrael because of the previous, because of the Mayim, the problem of the Mayim. Makel Sela will come with the back. But so he's not, he's actually getting the punishment at the end. He's over Kol Hashanim. But at the point where it's important for him to want to go into Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Makkah is going to come. And they also say that with the Egel HaZahav, it's not completely
forgiven.
It's there's always a remnant of it, off, and that's what we.
What the Navi is saying here.
Please do, Obey Al Pesha.
He's ignoring it just for that time. But he's not.
But what he's the Navi. Two answers I have for you. Answer one is that's what the Navi is asking for. He's not describing what's happening. He's saying, I'm asking you to be especially full of Rachmanut. Look, he says, Ki chafetz chesed hu. You really want to do the kindness. The second, well, it's a long time after. Thank you. I should have said that. You are absolutely right. I'm going to say it louder. In case you didn't hear, he is not asking for rachamim. He is asking for chesed. What's the difference? Chesed is just overflowing kindness. It doesn't depend on anything. Chesed is just chesed, filled. Whereas rachmanut depends on the reaction of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the person. Because you say, when I have compassion, you have compassion because a person deserves the compassion. The other thing I wanted to say, Chani, is, and I don't want to go into it because I don't understand it completely, and I was going to hide that. I didn't want you to know. But the Malbim goes into a very interesting discussion of the difference between Avon and Pesha. Pesha being a specific type. If you want me to read it to you without being able to totally explain it intelligently, which is nothing new. I mean, you know, we all know that I have this problem, but I can, it's very interesting. It's just that I can't quite get it. Let me read it to you, okay? Maybe if I read it aloud and you help me, it'll be better. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Malbe Mikael Kamocha, Bisiyum Dvarav. Because we're really at the end of his words. We're at the end of the words of Micha. So at the end of his words, Yitain Hodaya Lashem, he gives thanks to Hashem, Al Slichata Avonot, on the forgiveness of Avon, deliberate sins, sheyisah Hashem pesha amo, and that Hashem will carry, will tolerate, will not react to the pesha. Notice yisah avonot, and he is carrying the pesha, slichat avonot, omer ata, and he says, ata keil, God, mi kamocha, who is like you, nosei avon, right? Tolerates avon. Ratzolomar, hagam shetchila yisartam ba'avonam. even though at first you punished them, you gave them Yisurim for their avonot, deliberate sins, aval l'sheirit nachalato, but for the remnant of his inheritance, the people that will remain, lador sheyisharu b'keitz hayamim, the generation that will remain at the end of days, lohem, for them who know say avon va'over al pesha. What the Navi is saying here, right? He tolerates avon and ignores, goes past the pesha, the rebellious sin. V'hine b'yud gimel midot, and we know that the yud gimel midot that Moshe, that were revealed to Moshe, amar nosei avon v'fesha v'chata'a. We just said it, right? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates, carries, doesn't forget, but doesn't act on avon, pesha, and chata'a. We'll explain in a minute, I'll tell you what Malbim says. Shehanesia, hu sheyisa v'yispol oto v'lo yanish alav. Malbim wants us to know first and foremost what it means, no say. That he tolerates, that he carries, it means he takes it, he tolerates it, and does not act upon it, but it also means that it is still there. It is not erased. He's holding it, kiviyachol. Uvachol zot, hu shamor etzlo, le'et matzo. And nevertheless, it is guarded with him for the time that he will find it and use it. That's the idea that Chani referred to when she said the idea of the Chet HaEgel, that Chazal say it is always there. It is with us through all the generations. Kmo shekatuv v'nakeh, lo yinakeh. Some sins he completely wipes the slate clean, and there are others that he doesn't wipe the slate clean. Something is left. Ubizman ha'atid, and in the future, yihye shinui. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a change. She'et ha'pesha. Now we're going to go into the definition. Until now, we understood it. It was very clear, right? Did we understand until now? There's going to be a change, right? The pesha, shehu hamered, she'eino avon. It's rebellious. A pesha is where you know it's wrong. Rebellious means you're going against it. You know it's wrong, but you do it anyway, right? I know it's wrong, but. Ratzalomar, shelo na'ase al yedei minut v'ivut haseichel. It's rebellious. It's not done again from the reasons of minut. What's minut? Minut is avodah zarah, desiring, right? Desiring avodah zarah, following other ideas. And ivut haseichel is something happens to your brain, right? You are figuring, you're using your intelligence to figure out that it's not. So in other words, what he's saying here is that the pesha is rebellious. I know it's wrong and I'm just not going to do it anyway, or I'm going to do the wrong thing anyway because I can't help it or whatever. That's a pesha. Whereas what he's saying in avon, there's something about an avon that's worse, because the avon is either minut, that I think that there's another value other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or ivut haseichel is I'm using my brain, I'm using my logic, I'm using what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, my intelligence, to figure out that this is not what he wants really. That the Torah didn't quite make it, you know, didn't quite explain it correctly, which would be avon. And he's saying that's not the pesha. The pesha is where you're saying, I know it's wrong, but I can't help it, can't resist. So the pesha ya'avir legamre, he will completely wipe away. Rak et ha'avon lo ya'avir min ha'metziyot. But in avon, the deliberate sin that we just described, he is not going to erase from reality. V'yisha'er kamo shehaya mikodem. And it'll remain just like it was before. In other words, before Micha, when we were following the Yud Gimel Midot according to what was revealed to Moshe. Shehaya nosei v'sovel oto v'lo heviro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried it and held it, didn't act upon it, but it's not forgotten. And so basically, he is what the Malbim is trying to do, but it's a little hard for me to understand, even upon trying to explain it to you, that there's a difference. What Micha is trying to say is, Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're going to come to the last remnants of your people, the ones that are existing just before the Geula, then I'm asking that you are over al pesha, that you are not still remembering, holding on to, not acting upon, but nevertheless holding on to those rebellious sins. I understand that which is called an avon, where the human being uses ivut ha-seichel, he makes crooked, right? You make crooked your seichel to try to prove, like the biblical critics, excuse me, that what's in the Torah is not exactly, you know, the right thing. Or saying that, what was the other thing? Rega, there was the other one, Minut, you're going after Avodah Zarah, going after another value more than Hashem. So basically what he is really saying, please remember it's a tefillah. The Navi is saying, I'm signing off now. And I'm saying, who is like you, God, right? I am saying you are no say avon va'over al pesha lishe'erit amcha. Not now. To the remnants of your nation. V'lo hechezik la'adapo. Hashem, you're not going to hold on to your anger forever. You know why? Ki chafetz chesed hu. He's not just chesed. He's chafetz chesed. He wants it. And therefore, says the Navi, Yashuv Yerachameinu. So he's going to come back to us and he is going to have mercy upon us. Yichbosh Avonoteinu. Conquer even the Avon. He is going to knock down, conquer. It won't exist. He is going to change us. V'tashlich b'mtzulot yam, that's why there's tashlich. And you will throw in the depths of the sea, kol chatotam, we didn't do the chait yet. What's the chait? The chait is the unintentional, I didn't mean to do it, or I didn't know it was wrong. And I throw in the depths of the sea, it's though they're gone. The mistakes, the things that we do unintentionally, just throw them in the depths of the sea. Titein emet, you know these words, titein emet li Yaakov, chesed le Avraham, asher nishbata lavoteinu mimei kedem. Give the emet to that which you promised Yaakov, and the chesed to that which you promised Avraham, that you promised mimei kedem, and we're going to look and see what is the emet and what is the chesed, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu promised, Mimei Kedem, we have again from days of yore. So we need to look. Did you want to say something?
I wanted to ask about the Yechbosh Avonotam. So what does Yechbosh mean? I mean, we said that the Avonotam, the Avonot, are the deliberate acts of right? So I know what you're, but I'm going to do it anyway. The Pesha is, I feel like doing it. But Avon is, I know this is wrong.
You know, I was looking. What's the Yechbosh? Try to put it into some kind of. I was looking at all the Mefarshim with this Yechbosh.
He will subdue our iniquities.
In Yan Tfisa B'chozek, grabbing onto. I'm reading Metzuda Tzion. He's going to grab onto it with strength. Kmo the Yechbashum la'avadim. If you say somebody conquers somebody and makes them slaves, then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do is capture the Avon so that the Avon is now, we are like his slaves, we're not going to do it anymore. He's going to forcibly take the way that we say, Chazal said that after Churban Bayit Rishon, we no longer had the desire for Avodah Zarah. It was not that we grew out of it, we did not, but rather that we were able to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away so that we didn't have to fight it anymore. That's what it's saying. He's going to take it away so that we don't have to fight that anymore. So a little bit about the Chesed L'Avraham and the Emet that I would like to read to you. Titein. Acharei shechashav kol hamidot, after he listed all of the midot of Hashem, bo el midat emet, he comes to the midah of emet, umidat notzer chesed la'alafem. And the midah of that he remembers, notzer, he holds on to, he guards the chesed for thousands of generations. I know what you're going to say is good, so I'm not going to wait.
I just think that it's fascinating how the Nevi'im, Hashem taught Moshe how to mekabel sicha for Am Yisrael. And all the Nevi'im in their different forms use that tefillah.
Use from where
use. Use the Yud Gimel Midot from Moshe Rabbeinu in different forms,
yes. What Marcel is saying, Hashem, when he gave Moshe those Yud Gimel Midot, so it's easy to think that things remain static. But it's like the Nevuah continues, and all the Nevi'im use in some way or another, Eliyahu, right? Kael Kana, what's the matter with you, God? What about Yonah, that we spend so much time on, Yonah saying, Rabbanu Shalom, why are you sending me to Nineveh, for God's sakes? For your sake. For Am Yisrael's sake. In other words, yes, with all of the Nevi'im, we hear a haid, an echo. And that's the echo we're going to hear in Nachum as well. We're going to hear an echo geared to what it is that Nachum is saying to the people. What is his message? I don't want to go into that now, because we still are working on Micha and trying to understand Micha. So Micha is saying he's covering it all. He didn't talk about the Emet yet. He didn't talk about the Notzer Chesed. I'm going to tell you what it is right now.
When Hashem gave Moshe the Yud Gimel Midot, it was the idea to pass it on because he was going to die. But Moshe is teaching the Am that when you're in trouble, this is the answer. This is what you're supposed to do. So it's not so. That's why the Nevi'im have to use it, because that's what they were taught.
There's a basis, what you're saying. There's a basis. Because after all, what did Moshe say? Let's go back. Why were these Yud Gimel Midot revealed to Moshe? Because Hashem said to him, move, take Am Yisrael away from Har Sinai, and let's go walk towards the land. And Moshe says, how can I do it? Hareini na et kvodecha, show me how you operate. Give me a hint. And that's what the Nevi'im are trying to do to the people of their generation. They are taking a Mesorah. They're taking a Mesorah and they're giving it to the people. Torah is Moshe Mi-Sinai, but you had the teachers. I don't want to do this now. I'm just going to do a little. Moshe Kibel Torah Mi-Sinai, Umesorah Li-Yoshua, V'Yoshua Liz-Kenim, Uz-Kenim, Li-Nevi'im. We have a chain. We have a chain of Mesorah coming down. We have a chain. The Nevi'im went to school. They learned. They were in the Beit Midrash. And they learned for a very long time. And so they're handing down the Mesorah as they learned it from their teachers. Let's finish the Emet and the Chesed. Back to the Malbim. Va'omar shemidat Emet, the Midah of Emet, who shetikayem haftachatcha. What does that mean, truth? Truth means that you give your word and you keep it. You keep your word. So Emet, give Emet to Yaakov. You keep your word that you promised to Yaakov. Haftacha shehivtachta liYaakov. The promise that you gave Yaakov was what? Shehivticho, he promised him. V'hayozaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. Your descendants, your children, will be like the dust of the earth all over. Ufaratzta yama v'kedma. And you will spread out, burst out. Yama to the south and kedma to the east. Tafona v'negba, all over, right? That's the promise, Sheretzolomar. He wants to say, Acharei ha'galut shetidbak la'afar nafsham. As yakom le'ezra, after the galut that's going to cling to them like dust, in other words, they're going to be harmed by the galut. V'yifritzu b'nachala b'li mitzarim, they're going to burst out on their nachala without anything holding them back. U'tekayem haftachazu mitzad midata emet shelcha. And that promise that you gave to Yaakov, they'll be like afar ha'aretz. And notice here, you notice he's putting a slightly different meaning, that it's not just a lot like the dust, but rather somewhat soiled by the experience. We're not going to come out of the experience of galut totally untouched. So titain emet. Keep your promise to Yaakov that we will as a nation be able to shake off that dust without anything holding us back, without any mitzvah, no straits, and expand and grow once again without the essence of galut still upon us. V'gam titein ha'chesed shehivtachta l'Avraham. And also give us the chesed that you promised Avraham. She'el Avraham, lo nitchayev adayin mitzad haftacha kodemet v'nikra chesed. Because with Avraham, there was no previous promise. He didn't make a promise to anybody else. It was chesed, it was kindness to Avraham, not keeping a promise. V'el Yaakov shekvar nitchayev l'kayem hashvua. And with Yaakov, he already made the promise shenishba l'Avraham v'Yitzchak that he had made to Avraham and Yitzchak. That's why it's called Emet. So the chesed is when he makes the promise at first, the kindness that he did with Avraham. But then the promise is made. And when you did it to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, it's already a promise that was made and that we are asking you to keep. So give the truth to the promise you made to Yaakov and to the Avot before, and give us the chesed, because that's what you promised to Abraham and to Yitzchak. That's Micha. That is Micha. Seven prakem. You made the promise to the father, exactly. Exactly. And the fear. Ah, we're making a play on Yir'ah and Yir'ah, seeing and fearful, right? And Ro'eh, the shepherding. All of the words, of course there is a Masorah. Thank you very much for seeing all these connections. Of course there's a Masorah. I went to a wonderful shayur among several others last Tuesday when I went out to the Gush with Martha, and we really enjoyed it. So I went to a shayur that was given by Harav Yoel Ben Nun, and it was perfect for our class. It was absolutely perfect, except that he gave me an assignment that's but good. He said, you're not going to just prepare the way you usually do. I'm going to give you lots of things to worry about. So now I'm very worried, because what the shayur was about was the five Nevi'im that lived in the time of Yoshiyahu. And we don't have time to give the historical overview that we need to do. But with the end of Micha, there's one thing that we really have done, and that is we have closed a certain era. And that is the era of the Nevi'im that spoke during the time of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. Remember, we have learned again and again, and by the time, wait, if you don't have charts, remember the charts that I gave you? If you don't have them, I don't mean here, but if you don't have them at all, I will make more copies. It's okay. It's very important. Because we learned four Nevi'im gave Nevuah b'perek achat. Remember Hosea, Amos, Yeshayahu, and Micha. So all of the Nevi'im that we learned so far, remember that Ovadia and Yonah were a little bit before this time. And the others are during the time of these four kings and during the time of Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Yisrael. It's a specific era. It is a time when the Nevi'im heard for the first time that there is going to be a galut. It had not been told to them before. So they heard for the first time that there's going to be a galut. It seems to be very far away. The people aren't really listening. Nothing is new there. But nevertheless, they are talking about what's going to happen in the future, that there are going to be many battles. One of the interesting things that Rav Yoel believes very strongly is that Yeshayahu, who was, after all, the main Navi at the time, actually had a Beit Midrash. And the Nevi'im of his time learnt with him. They learnt with him. And that's why we saw that there were some familiar things. Remember, there was a whole Perek Dalid in Micha that talked about the Chazon Acharit HaYamim that was very similar to Yeshayahu, Perek Bet, and he explains it by saying Yeshayahu was the elder Navi of the time, and he was running a Beit Midrash, and the Nevi'im of his time learned with him, and the Beit Midrash continued even after Yeshayahu was killed by the next king, Menashe. So Yeshayahu himself was killed, but the Beit Midrash, the learning, the transmission, continued. So that we see the next several Nevi'im that we will learn, who were actually living at a later time that we will discuss more in depth next week, were Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. That's the next group. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah all lived probably at the end of the time of Menashe. Amon, his son, who Baruch Hashem only ruled for 2 years because he was an exceptionally evil person. But we'll talk more about that. And then, of course, Yoshiyahu, who took over as a young child.
So on your list, still under Chizkiyahu, you also have at the end, you have Nahum. So now you're mentioning Yeshayahu, Hosea, Amos, Micha. But on the list, you also have Nahum. So
we'll talk about that. I know. Oh, I should have said, I'm sorry, I should have said, Vivian is absolutely right. The Nevi'im that I just mentioned, Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, do not give us a hint of the time that they lived. We don't know their fathers. They don't tell us who was king. And so there are many suppositions in the among the Mefarshim that we will come to.
You say Menashe, that Menashe was the king at their time with Nahum and Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
Their Hoshea.
Now, Menashe, by the way, ruled for a very, very long time. He was one of the longest, even though he was evil. But we will talk more about it. We need to remind ourselves of the time of Yoshiyahu so that we know what's going on. So we're going to do one of our historical overviews. Please remember, before I let you go, what did we learn from Micha? First and foremost, I think that we learned about a gift of language, because I think that we saw before our eyes the amazing ability to use language that really goes right to the core of one's being. And I think that's very important in Micha. We learned that he did indeed see that there was going to be destruction. He spoke about the fact that there would be destruction at the present time and destruction in the future. Basically, if you remember, he said, it's not going to be peaceful. You're not going to have a time of a lot of peace. We're going to have enemies that attack now during the time of Ahaz, and there will be more enemies that will attack later during the time of Chizkiyahu. He also blamed the leaders. He said, Paragimel, you're the ones that really should know the importance of justice and the importance of running a country correctly. And so you get a lot of the blame for allowing the corruption that is part of both Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehuda, allowing that corruption to grow. And he then gave us some scenes about the future, about Mashichiyot. He is the first one that brought to our attention that there can't be one Mashiach alone. I remember that was surprising to you. And he said to Tammy, he said that Mashiach ben David is not going to be able to come until there will be work done by a Mashiach ben Yosef. The idea will be coming back to that again and again. And Mashiach ben Yosef will also have help. Remember the Shiva Roim and the Shmona Nesichei Adam? The idea of there being leaders that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends to us all the time that are helping to form and reform the nation and to make them ready to accept Geula. And the idea that there would have to be a kibbutz galiot, there would have to be a time of shalom, and a time that we have a Beit HaMikdash, and that all of the nations would be coming to learn from a Mashiach leadership figure. And then, of course, we had a dialogue. The dialogue, remember, where the Navi says to the people, in the name of Hashem, Ami ma'asisi lach, why have there been such terrible times? Why have you rebelled against me? Why? What didn't I do? I took you out of Mitzrayim and I took you through the Midbar and I gave you a Torah and I gave you so many things. And remember, Higid Lecha Adam Matov, one of the most well-known sections of Micha, Hashem, Adam, God told you what's good and what Hashem wants from you. Ki im asot mishpat. He wants you to do justice, va'avat chesed. He wants you to love kindness, va'hatzneya lechet im Hashem alakacha, and to walk kindly, before to walk
humbly.
With humbly, tada, before Hashem, or with, to walk humbly with Hashem. And then, of course, he went back to the yilala, to the kina, and said, I see that there will be destruction. And I am asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you to treat the people with chesed, to treat them as a ro'eh, not with a makel, not with punishment, and to bring about the time that you will give the chesed and the emet that you promised to our fathers. So, that's Micha. And so Mazel Tov, we finished Micha. And Bezrat Hashem, we will hopefully continue. Toda
rabah. If we had another today, would anybody really pay attention?
Probably not.